Lord, we thank you and we love you and we bless you for being God and being the God of our life, Lord. Thank you for choosing us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we love you and we bless you. And as we reflect on just another year coming to a close, Lord, we thank you for the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, the victories and the success, Lord. But here we are to say, bless you. We love you. We need you, Lord. Speak to us through your word, Lord. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, decaying, dead world. Thank you for the blueprint and the map for our life. Teaches us how to think, how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to love. It covers everything. How to repent, how to confess, how to forsake. It teaches us everything. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to guess on how to live. You left your word to teach us. Holy Spirit, lead and teach this morning by your power and your grace. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, okay, so I got a little commentary. As I was studying and trying to pull it all together, well, let me read what I have and then we'll get to Joshua 23 and 14. So with it being the Sunday before Christmas, normally you would have a Christmas message. Here's a Christmas message. The question is not when Jesus was born. The question is, have you been born again? That's the question right there. All right. That's the message. We're not going to get into all the particulars. When was he born? We know he was born. We know he died. We know he resurrected. But the question is, have you been born again? It's not major and the minors. People want to argue and justify their sin. The real question is, have you been born again? So I want to make up all these stories of this, that, and the other so I can justify my sin. But we're not going to let you off the hook this morning. Question is, have you been born again? That's the real question. So I wrote this too, and it says, Sister Kathy, guess what it says next to it? Read this. Yes, it does. It says, what I've learned as a pastor, that if you don't trust God 100%, that none of this really matters. Don't matter what day Christ was born, when he died, when he resurrected. If you don't trust him 100%, it doesn't matter. If you haven't surrendered every aspect of your life to God 100%, you will not experience the abundant life God has promised us, and you will not qualify for the promises that God has for us. For example, in Romans 8:28, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. It says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So if we're not walking in obedience, then that promise doesn't even apply to your life. But what I'm not saying is that you have to earn brownie points with God. That's what I'm not saying. Or that our salvation is merit-based. That's what I'm not saying. This is a real walk. You have to position yourself in holiness, confessing of sin daily, forsaking sin daily, consecrating your mind and your body daily. It requires sanctification, order, surrender, dedication, discipline, worship, submission, meditation, study the word of God, praying daily, and commitment to God. God has given us a formula. Yes, he has. That's what he requires. God has given us a formula, recipe, or blueprint on how to walk with God and dwell with God. Family, we have the blueprint. We have the formula. It's called the word of God. Our goal has to be, as we finish 2018 going into 2019, that our lifestyle has to line up with our lip service. It's our goal going into 2018 that our lifestyle has to line up with our lip service. Did I say Merry Christmas this morning? Did I tell you I love y'all? Okay, all right, I got to check. Now we get to Joshua. Turn to, I already said, but Joshua 23:14. We were studying this in Bible study. It was so powerful. I got to share this with you. And then we're going to get into our traditional, not really a traditional Christmas message, but a Christian message. Joshua 23:14. Let me find it. Okay, put it in context. Joshua is on his deathbed. They've conquered the promised land that God has for them, and Joshua's on his deathbed, and he's talking to God's people. And family, make a note. This is a scripture I'm going to suggest you meditate on every morning for the next 30 days. Look what Joshua says. He's talking to the congregation. He says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." When you translate that into the Hebrew, "On this day I'm going to die." Joshua's old. He's 110 and he's getting ready to die. But look what he tells the people. "And you know in all of your hearts and in all of your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." Joshua is saying, we've been through all this. And on my deathbed, this is what I can tell you, that God has never failed, God has never lied, and God has never broken his promise. Meditate on that for the next 30 days. Because the world is trying to give you a distraction and paint a picture that you can't trust God or that everything else is more important than God. But hear what Joshua is saying. I'm telling you, I've been meditating on this, saying, why am I worried about anything? Amen. Why am I fearing anything? Why am I overly concerned about anything? See, this is what I'm saying. I can't trust God for you. We talked about it in Bible study, the trustometer. I can't trust God for you. All I can tell you is pray to the Holy Spirit. God, reveal yourself to me as I'm meditating on this scripture for the next 30 days. It's a real walk, family. And when you walk out of your doors, you got to know that God is not going to fail on anything that he's promised over your life that lines up with his word. But you got to submit and surrender 100% or you'll never know. And we'll get to the end of our life and we'll never know what God could have done because we never trusted him 100%. It's powerful. Let me read it again. Joshua's saying, what would be our deathbed confession? That God, you were faithful even when I was faithless, or don't even acknowledge God. "And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts." Look what he's telling the people. When you sit and look in your heart, he's telling them they are in the promised land. They're sitting in the promise that God had promised them. And he's saying, you know in your hearts and in your souls that not one thing, God is so faithful that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. God will not fail us, family. All, underline, all has come to pass. Everything he said. And not one thing has failed thereof. Family, all I can say is taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and the woman that trust in the Lord. Meditate on this. When you're having a bad day, when you're having a good day, keep your life in biblical perspective. God is not going to fail you. Even when we let God down, he will not fail us. That's why daily confession, repenting, forsaking, and running to God. Okay, now let's go to John 1, the book of John, John 1. So I'm going to just give you some notes. I was going to, the prophecy of Jesus Christ is in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I did have a Christmas message. So when you get a chance, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 talks about the prophecy of Jesus Christ. But remember, if you don't trust God, if you don't believe God can do what he said he's going to do, that doesn't even matter. And then in Micah 5 and 2, the prophecy of the birth of Jesus Christ. It was prophesied before it happened. That's why it happened, because God said it would. So So remember, the question is not if God is faithful. The question is, do you trust God 100%? And not when Jesus was born, but have you been born again? So here we are. That's a John 1:1. So we're going to get the question of when was Jesus born out the way, okay? With John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So make a note that Jesus wasn't born, he's always been. Let me say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So Jesus has always been here. So he was born, but actually he's always been. So Jesus, make a note, Jesus has been around since the beginning of time because he created time. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus created everything. Make a note that when we talk about different things, especially different religions, that they're not valid based on the followers, because an idiot can follow anything, but it's valid based on the founder. When Jesus split time in half and resurrected, it was finished. Everything else that comes after that is a distraction and a subtraction. You can't get any deeper than everlasting and beginning and creating everything. Nothing else compares to that. All it does is subtract from that or distract from the truth. You can't get any deeper from everlasting. So you know me, I had to do a little research, but hear what I'm saying. Enjoy life, but understand that when Jesus split time in half and resurrected, that was a game changer. And since he's been around since the beginning and he's promised us eternal life, those are the promises. And if you believe that not one word of what God speaks has ever failed, then you know that you have eternal life. When we transition from here, we go right to be into the presence of God. And that's what it's all about. Not getting distracted and going to hell like the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. And when he said it is finished, it is finished. There's nothing you can add to that. It's finished. It's been around since the beginning and it's finished. Okay, so all right, here we go, Pastor. What are you talking about? Let me make it plain. So people will worship anything because remember, we were made to worship. You have to worship something. So football was created August 20th, 1920. It's a little different from the beginning. Hear what I'm saying? Football was created in 1920. And what did they say it was? Where was football? Did I write down where it was created at? Canton, Ohio. Yeah. That's right. That's where the Hall of Fame is, Canton, Ohio. Baseball was created in 1889. Why are you saying this? Because people worship this stuff. And it was invented. Jesus has been around since the beginning of time. He resurrected, split time in half. It's finished. Everything else is a distraction and a subtraction from that. All my basketball fans, that was created in 1891, Springfield, Massachusetts, by a man that died and went to heaven or hell based upon whether he was saved or not. Political parties were created in 1787. So when you put your life on the line for your political party and you worship that, that was created in 1887. TV was created in 1932. Because, you know, sometimes we spend more time watching TV than we do in the Word of God. But that was Jesus is everlasting, 1932. Okay, I get it. I haven't forgotten our youth either. Where's our youth? Where did I put it down? Smartphones were created in 1992. Smartphones has made our youth so dumb today. The phones, not the youth. Distracted them into dumbness. Not any of the youth in here, because they know better than that. The internet that you get lost in, that was created in 1983. And some of us remember, that's a shame when you're old enough to remember when something like I was like in college. And anyway, when they invented the internet, people spend so much time on this stuff. What else I got for y'all? Oh, okay. Hey, movies were created in 1892. First movie, 1892. Yep. We spend our whole life watching movies. Amen. Christ has been around since the beginning. All right, so here we go. Let's take it a little deeper, Pastor. Okay. Islam was created in 700. 700 years after Jesus Christ split time in half. It was finished. How are you creating stuff after it's finished? Buddhism was created 500 years after the resurrection. Hinduism, they say it was been around since 1500 before Christ, since 1500 BC. But it has no founder. It's just a mixture of different beliefs. But nobody really founded it. It's just poof, came together. Mormonism was founded in 1820. Jehovah's Witness in the 1870s. How do you start something after it's finished? So you got to understand, did Jesus Christ split time in half and resurrect on that third day? And that's what you got to come to grips with. Do I believe it and do I receive it? So we're not going to major in the minors about this or that. When was he born? That's a distraction. And all this other stuff that distracts us that came after Christ to distract us from the truth. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In Jesus Christ was life, and that life was the light of men. What is saying here that there is nothing good outside of man except for the life of Christ and the light that God puts in us. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So the light of God comes into us and it illuminates us so that we're good. Because of Christ, because our life is hid in Christ, is what they tell us in Colossians. So we got to be honest. And you know, as I'm studying this, I got to be honest with myself too, right? So are you trying to say that there was nothing good in me until Christ came in me? And so as I'm sitting there evaluating myself, before I was born again, before I accepted Christ into my heart when I was 17 years old, everything I did was motivated through selfishness. Even if I helped you out, back of my mind was saying, one day I'm coming to ask you for something because I did something for you. Don't get it twisted. I had to examine myself. Everything had an ulterior motive or angle. Okay, I'm going to loan you some money, but you better believe if I ever need something, I'm coming and say, hey man, remember I loaned you. I never did anything. And that was good stuff. Never did anything just because it's the right thing to do until I was born again. Amen. And then you do stuff for people and you don't even expect anything back. Matter of fact, you go find people who can't give you anything back, so it's not even an issue. But that's because the light of God is in us. But because before that, it was dark. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2. We're coming back to this. I don't know. When we stop, we're going to stop. Go to Ephesians 2. And Ephesians 2 and 4. Say, well, Pastor, I thought I was pretty good. You know, even, okay, well, let me just blow that out the water. With the word. Ephesians 2 and 4. If you're there, say amen. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love. Somebody underline that. God's great love. If you ever wondered how God feel about you, it's great love towards you and I. Wherewith he loved us. He loved us with a great love. even when we were dead in sins, before we got quickened, before we got brought to life through Jesus Christ, we were dark and dead in sin. That's why Jesus was the light of life. Because before that, we were dark and dead in sin until we accepted Christ. All right, let me read. All right. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God has quickened, made us alive together with Christ. With Christ. Underlined, by grace are you saved. Somebody say, thank God for the grace. My acronym for grace is God's Redeemer, Accused, Crucified, and Exalted. That's the grace of God. By that grace are we saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's a promise. That's why I started you in Joshua, so you can understand that you can bank on this. Joshua said, not one thing has failed. We sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That in the 8th, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. If you don't have it highlighted, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Notice that the grace, the loving favor, the kindness of God comes first. Not our faith, it's the grace that allows us to have faith. Faith being translated as belief and trust. So we are saved by the grace, the goodness of God. Then it comes through the faith. And not that of yourselves. Somebody underline that. You didn't save yourself. You didn't rescue yourself. You and I, we can't rescue ourselves. Underline it. It is the gift of God. It's the best gift you can have. It is a season of gifts, right? Somebody say amen. Look at what God has given us. The thing that God did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. He saved us. He rescued us from death, hell, sin, and the grave. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I love verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one will ever be able to brag and say, I saved myself. Walk around with your self-righteous self. Get yourself together. Look at me. I don't do this. I don't do. You better watch yourself. For by grace are we saved through faith. Family, that's why I will never come in here and try and make myself more than I am. Just a sinner saved by grace. Titles mean nothing. I understand. I respect the office of the pastor and all that. But I'm telling you, I didn't save myself. You didn't save yourself. When you're visiting your family at Christmas time, take it easy on them. Come on now, don't go in there preaching. Just go in there and love them. We talked about it last week, showing up in your Jeep. That's spelled with a G, your greed and your ego and your envy and your pride. You pull right up and just blow everything up. You come sit down at the table in your Jeep. Mess up the whole function. And you the one go to church supposed to be saved. Greed, envy, ego, and pride kills everything. That's why God had to tell him, it's not of works. Don't you start boasting because you know two scriptures. And now you walking around, y'all going to hell. Better check yourself. We'll never be able to brag about that. Can you imagine if we could brag about it? We horrible as it is now. If I was able to save myself, y'all wouldn't be able to talk to me. Why would I even be talking to y'all? I wouldn't have nothing to say. I'd say, go save yourself. I'd probably say something like, okay, brother Anthony, let's take the offering now. I tell y'all, get out, go save yourself. This type of attitude you have, you could save yourself. You wouldn't care about nothing. Thank you, Lord, that we couldn't save. We all have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because you ain't did nothing and you couldn't do anything. You go to Isaiah, he tells us that our works are like filthy rags. There's going to be a lot of people that did some good things going right to hell. Because you can't save yourself. And you can't cleanse yourself. It's darkness in there. And the light comes from Christ, and we go out and we illuminate that light because Christ is in us. And that's the only reason. Verse 8 again. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You only can receive it. Somebody at Christmas time, you're going to get a gift, and somebody's going to try and give you a gift. Ladies, let me tell you, some guy's going to try and give you a gift to try and, you know, and you're going to tell him, no, thank you. Don't receive it. You don't have to receive the gift. I don't care if they offer it. Just like this right here, it's the gift of God. And people tell God, no, thank you. I'm going to try it my way. I'm going to get into something that was invented in 1950. I know you've been around since the beginning of time, but I'm going to go with the 1950. Alex, I'll take 1950 for 300. We got God, the beginning of time. Well, I'll try and figure this out myself. You don't have to take the gift. That's why it's a gift. God's not going to force you to serve him or to love you. God doesn't get down like that. He has great love towards you. Love you enough to let you do your own thing. Because we're not robots. We talked about that during another time, how they got the blow up. The guys got married and married a doll. Remember that?
Yes.
It doesn't talk. It just sits at the table. Anyway, we're not going to go back there. And the ladies, it was just guys. Remember, no ladies had a dog because they said, well, I've already married a dummy. So anyway, I said we're not going to go there again. Okay, let me get back on track. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so nobody can brag about saving themselves. Look what it says, though, in verse 10. For we are his creation. We are his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before prepared that we should walk in them. God has something really great prepared for you already. You have to line up in it with his word and walk in it. Don't get distracted. Somebody get that. This is the promise. That's why we started in Joshua. So you can understand that Joshua was dying and said, man, nothing that God promised us has ever failed. So when I read a scripture like this, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has already prepared that we should walk in them. Family, make a note, in 2018, as we finish going into 2019, God has already prepared for something for you to walk into. But you can't get distracted by all this other stuff that man has created and been satanically influenced. You can't. All right, I got to close this thing out. All right, let's go back to John 3. And I got so much more notes, but I know how to close it out. So let me put these two scriptures together. It's John 1 and 1, right? Let's go back to John 1 and 1. Let me just give you some scriptures and close it out. I'm going to wrap it up. Bam. Somebody say, man, that's how it goes, Sister Kathy. You wrap them, bam, and that's. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now look at John 1 and 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So wait a minute, let me go back. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus has always been kicking it with God. It's part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then in John 1:14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that God came down and dwelt with us. Look at John 3 and 1. I'm closing out, family. I promise I am. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Underline, he came by night. So tonight, when you laying down, before you go to sleep, come to Jesus and just talk to him. Reveal your heart to God. Not that he doesn't know it, but he wants you to come clean. Get away from the crowd. Get away from the kids, the noise. When you lay down and go to bed tonight, talk to God. Same came to Jesus by night and said to them, we know, Rabbi, teacher, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that you do, except God is with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born anew. Family, unless you accept Christ into your heart. This is another promise. You're not going to see the kingdom. But the kingdom is the royalty, the reign, the room, the rule, and the realm of God. The royalty, the reign, the rule, and the realm of God. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you're not going to see it here or on the other side. Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, how can a man be born again? When he's old, does he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And ladies, y'all say, no. are you out of your mind? Amen. But look what Jesus is saying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, unless he's born from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Verse 7, why are you amazed that I said you got to be born again? Do you really think you could enter heaven the way we think and act and do? Seriously? With the stuff you did last night, do you think you could really just walk into heaven like that? I ain't going to even take you back. I'm going to just talk about the stuff you and I were thinking last night. Do you think we could just walk into heaven like that? Why are you marveled that you got to be cleansed and born again? It couldn't be a surprise. Okay, think about last week then. On your job, the things you said, the things you watched, the things you thought. Do you think you could just, why are you marveled that you got to be born again? You really think you could walk up in there like that? Without the covering of Christ? She's like, Jesus is telling him, dude, you're so filthy. Do you really think? And remember, he said they were whitewashed tombs on the outside. They look all dressed up and pretty, but on the inside, dead man bones. Do you really think you're going to heaven in those dead man bones? You think you can stand before God like that? You really surprised that we can't make it the way we are? That's the most common sense thing I've heard today. That I got to be cleansed through Jesus Christ to stand before God. Now just think about it. I'm going to close because I got to stop because the time is. But just think about it. Before you got saved, are you really ready to meet God? Before you had Christ in your heart and accepted God and cleansed by the blood, were you really ready to meet God? You going to stand there and shake your fist, why God, why? Are you serious? All right, 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There's the gift again, that whosoever believes. This is the Christmas message. This is the life message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn. It's no condemnation on us. He didn't send his son in here to point fingers at us. But that the world through him might be saved, might be rescued. Amen. God sent his son because of his great love to rescue us. All right. Look at verse 12. And I'm done with this. We get all want to know God. Look at what he says. Jesus in verse. If I have told you earthly things and you can't even believe those. You really want me to tell you something about heaven? About how I created the angels? About what heaven looks like? And the galaxies that are out there and everything that's out there that you can't even imagine? You can't even believe the earthly stuff I tell you. But you want to know what goes on? No, you don't. verse 15, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. And that's where we're going to stop today. So let's just bow our heads, and then we have one more thing to do before we dismiss. And oh, God, it's not about when Jesus was born, Lord. It's about if we've been born again. It's about, do we really believe the promises of God? God, you've never failed. You've never lied. You've never forsaken us. You've never broken a promise. So, God, we just repent right now and ask you to forgive us. So we have to examine our heart and our motives. Why are we surprised that we got to be born again? Why are we surprised that you can't take us the way we were before we met Christ, before we invited Christ into our heart? So, Lord, we love you and we bless you. Thank you for your message. Thank you that you're a God that never lies. You are the Lord. The word says you are the Lord and you change not. Thank you, Lord, that you don't change on us. You're not sometime and you're not fair weather. But you are God and you stay the same. And you've promised us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And we believe it and we stand on your promise. Just like Joshua, God, not one thing has failed. And even when we transition, we go to be right with you, because the word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We love you for that, Lord. We just thank you for your word. Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I'm not born again because I've never accepted Christ into my heart. Got to give you the opportunity this morning. The greatest gift. It's a gift. All you can do is receive it. You can't save yourself. The word made it clear. But you can receive the free gift of eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If that's you and you want that gift this morning that God has given, it's called eternal life, and you've never accepted Christ into your heart, go ahead and elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life as I finish this year and I go into next year. You don't need to raise your hand. That's between you and God. You just elevate your heart, and God already knows. You know, and God knows. And look what God said. He said he's already prepared something for you, and you just got to walk in it. You got to trust him and walk. This is the year. This is the time. God is saying, trust me and watch me transform your life. That's a promise. God will not fail, forsake, lie, or break his promise. It's already prepared for you. Rededicate your life and walk in it today. Then maybe you hear you've been visiting. You say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I've never officially joined, but this morning I'd like to officially join. That's you. Elevate your hand. What a great way to finish the year, becoming part of a body of believers, a family going into the new year. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you and we bless you. Because there's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. Thank you, Lord, that you don't fail. You don't lie. In a world of uncertainty, we have a certain God. We know for a certainty that God doesn't lie, doesn't fail, doesn't break his promise, doesn't leave us or forsake us. Even through the ups and the downs, we love you for that, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. So one thing we need to do, we're going to take a quick 5 minutes. And we have some cards for Sister Sherry. And we just want you to open it up and put a special greeting to Sister Sherry. Let her know how much we love her and miss her. So we want you to write in there. And then we're going to collect the cards. And for those of you, if you have chicken scratch, you know, just please. And if you can't really spell your name, then just make an X. So Okay, that's a joke. All right, all right, all right. Okay, I got to lighten up. But write something. Just let Sherry know, Sister Sherry, how much we love her and miss her. And so as getting one big card, we got individual cards, and we're going to get them to her. We have pens. If you need something to write with, elevate your hand. And just show Sister Sherry some love. Go ahead. Is it on?
I think so.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, those cards are one way we want to bless Sister Sherry. We want her.